5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sink.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TTV episode 176.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That could have been like a second sink.
Yeah. Wow, that was great. We made a total set in sync.
That was pretty good. That was great, guys.
That was pretty good.
I'm proud of the Mardi Gras.
It was all because of you, Var. We couldn't have done it without you.
Aw, that's really sweet, man.
Well, I mean, we could have. It just wouldn't have been as good.
He's got a point, amazing. But the Mardi Gras still stands.
Listen, I think the Mardi Gras is an integral part of the podcast, and because of it, I'm an integral part of the podcast, and the podcast revolves around me, is what I'm getting at, basically.
It's funny, because, like, that video that Meso made has never seen, like, the light of day. You know, and if Meso had just been on that day and been like, "No, I'm just not going to record this. No one's going to see it." We literally would not have the longest running joke we've ever had in a podcast.
It's not even a joke anymore.
It's not. It's a meme. It's a part
it's
of
like
our
a ritual.
Culture.
We just have to do it.
It's 889 views. Yeah, guys, I'd say it's
like
of
the
day,
podcast doesn't feel complete.
Rituals
about
don't
it.
Have to mean something negative.
Guys,
you have a morning ritual.
Guys,
yeah, exactly.
Guys, hey guys, hey, listen, hey. Happy New Year!
Oh yeah!
Happy
New
Year,
guys!
Happy birthday, Viper!
I got way more than I bargained for on New Year's.
Oh yeah, Purple just reminded me that Viper's not here.
Yeah, happy birthday, Viper! Ooh.
Hey, happy birthday!
Wait, who is here?
I sent her a message on Facebook. I should probably tweet at her too.
Vin,
you didn't send me a message on Facebook
like
for my
segue?
Birthday.
You like that?
That was a pretty okay segue. That was like a 7.5 out of 10 segue.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
So, that was good.
Fair
guys.
Enough. I'm Messenger.
I'm Vodoran.
I'm Kahi.
I'm Venom.
I screwed it up.
Come on, professionality, dude.
Wow.
Well, LJ wasn't in the mix, so all of a sudden it felt like it jumped really far.
I'm Purple Dragon.
Oh, hey, Purple.
How you doing? I'm Chicken
the
podcast.
Purple makes
out.
Her first appearance.
Hey. Well, I was on TTV Talks, but...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get all those awesome comments saying, like, oh, dude, Purple Dragon, what's up? You make good art.
I get so many of those per day.
Are you ready to get those? Are like purple's too soft. Purple doesn't say anything.
Yeah, then you're gonna get all the complaints. It'll be really good at first, and then suddenly everyone's gonna be really negative and they make topics about you on the boards.
Okay,
this marks a momentous occasion because this is the first time we have had a person from like who's big in our community come onto our podcast, like you know, graduate from
that we
point.
Invited.
That we invited. Like, a lot of people beforehand, like, Takuma and X came through a casting call. Viper was also here through a casting call as well. And all of us, the rest of us, we were here before we had a community. So, Purple, you are the first person from the community that has been brought up through the ranks.
It's really fun, actually, like, knowing that we hired someone out of the community. Like, I really like that. I like it. I want to hire more people out of the community.
Yeah,
that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, like, people
no more
that,
casting calls. Next time you ask, the answer is never.
I mean, like,
well,
usually
when people ask, the answer is never because,
true,
like,
but
basically the way it works is we'll come to you or we'll have a casting call.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you do good work, we will most likely come to you.
Like Purple. Purple did amazing.
You have to do good stuff. Sometimes, like, people are like, hey, I want to be on the podcast. What can you do? Well, I can talk about Bionicle.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, we've kind of got that quota filled a little bit.
We're kind of looking for more that you would offer to the table, you know?
Yeah, obviously we don't want people that are going to just do the exact same thing we're already doing.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Trot, if that's the case, why'd you bother hiring me on?
Because you did it better than us.
What do I do?
The website.
What do I
do it better than us. Oh yeah, what do you do? I forgot. No,
the
basically, if you want to work for TTV, just be
a thing beforehand, though. That came afterwards.
This is true.
Did it? Oh, I guess it did, huh?
Yeah,
it did. That was not in his initial job description.
That's true. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, we brought you on for the podcast, and then suddenly you started working on the site. Now that's your job. It's cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Funny how that works. But basically, now, if you want to work for TTV, all you got to do is just be as perfect as Purple.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you.
That shouldn't be too hard.
Oh.
Oh, dang.
Was that a sneak diss?
That was a sneak diss.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
Sneak diss.
Well. Purple, the disses don't work if you don't pay attention to them.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. Okay, fair enough. I've got no response to that. That's it.
Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Well.
So, on the news docket for today, may as well leap straight in because we have a lot to cover. This has been a pretty... Gonna be a pretty jam-packed podcast in contrast to weeks where nothing's happened, because it's a new year, a lot of new possibilities for discussion. We've got the second Bionicle book, Revenge of the Skull Spiders. We've got the first graphic novel, Gathering of the Toa. We've got the 2016 Bionicle sets, which came out. We recently did a live stream where we announced we're going to Brick Fair. Where do you want to start first, guys?
Well, first, I think we should start with our vessel advertisement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Gotta get them plugs.
Yeah, I gotta get them plugs. Yo, people, all you beautiful people watching this episode, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're a week behind. What are you doing? Surely by now you should know about Vessel. Vessel is the greatest website ever. Go to vessel.com/the TDV channel to check out this podcast as it's released, as we've just put it up, finished editing it. Go over there. Otherwise, you're gonna be like, what are they talking about? The sets came out like last week. Yes, because you're watching on YouTube. You gotta get on that Vessel.
Go. Yeah.
Do it.
You should also totally watch our other videos and sign up and do that because, man,
yeah, you
that,
can pay for the early access thing.
Early access.
Pretty cool.
Helps us out a lot. Right now.
It helps us out a lot.
If you're listening on Vessel and you're on early access, you should go check out our live stream.
Oh, yeah, the TV Talks live stream. We did that.
We recorded the TV Talks special edition 49th episode celebration live stream.
49th.
Because for some reason we were one away from doing it on the 50th episode, and we didn't do it on the 50th.
Oh, man.
If you've ever thought about maybe, like, listening to a 3-hour recording of us just, like, dissing each other back and forth, then this is the video for you.
Yeah.
Head over to thevessel.com right now, pay for early access, and check it out before it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's worth it. Trust me.
It was pretty hilarious time.
I think it was pretty worth it.
I was not around for it.
Yeah, you weren't there, Takuma. Where were you?
Okay, so what happened was...
Here we go.
some of them heard the story last night. So what happened was that New Year's Eve, I wound up working. There's an establishment, an entertainment center that my family and I have worked at for years. Me, not so much for the past 5 years-ish. But they needed another person last night for wristbanding for the New Year's concert. So I was like, I don't really feel like going in and doing this, but... excuse me. I asked, okay, so, you know, how much does it pay? And how long would I be working for? And they said, well, they were guessing that the rate I'd be getting is like around 10 an hour, and they were saying you'd start at 6:30 and work until 9:30 at the earliest, probably around 10:30 at the latest. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it's money in my pocket, right? And also, for those who don't remember this or are new to the podcast, I am from a family of 9 people.
Oh my god.
Mom, dad, 1 brother, and 5 sisters. Last night was the first and only time where every single one of us was working there at the same time.
Oh, wow.
We were all working that concert. We pretty much owned the place.
Dag, yo.
So part of it was just for the novelty factor, especially because it's something my mom has always talked about. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if there was one night where we were all working? So I says, okay, I will work this. I did not get out of there, back home, and in bed until past 4 a.m.,
Wow. All right. Well, hey, it sounds like you've got a good excuse for not being there, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, well, the thing is, I didn't get in bed until after 4, had to be up for church at 8:30.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So I was fine. Tired. That is why I was not on the TTV Talks thing.
All right.
Fair enough.
You had I made people angry. I watched people collapse on the floor. Lots of interesting people last night.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds fun.
New Year's celebrations are always.
I have to imagine that, like, Christmas is probably like a really fun time for you to come up with all those family members.
Christmas, yeah. Let someone else talk for a change.
I'm not supposed
to get that much talking. Remember, quality over quantity.
Oh wow!
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, it was a fun live stream. That's all I have to say.
It was a fun live stream.
Yeah. I think I should definitely check it out. I kind of want to do more. I want to do more live streams in the future.
Yeah, I liked how you guys had the chat like on the boards, because it was really fun, like interacting with fans.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I actually really liked that too. I thought that was a cool thing we did, and we didn't even mean to do that because Kai didn't like have the chat like enabled.
No,
so
okay.
That's kind of something we just did.
Here's the thing, yeah. Var. I don't know if you noticed. Yesterday after you left the call, me and Meso and LJ did. I went through a ton of test streams. And I had Meso and LJ look at me on the stream side and tell me how things are going. There's no option to turn on that group chat. We tried everything. And also on a TTV account, you can't turn on questions and answers or the showcase mode either. It keeps giving you a 404 error. I tried it on my own personal
account. That's really
weird. And I was able to do it. And I went back to TTV and it wouldn't do it. So I don't know what's going on, but it just can't do it.
Huh. Well, I mean, in the end, I still like the format that we had where everyone was on the boards. I think that was a good idea.
That was pretty good.
I think we should do that more often.
I think, honestly, I mean, like, that's part of a thing where, like, we could do that for, you know, maybe TTV Talks in the future, because we have to record it anyways. We could do that, live stream it, and then, you know, have people comment on the boards.
Do you think there would be, like,
pushed
a way...
up by, like, future comments, either?
There would be a way to, like, implement a feature on the website where, like, whenever we go live, like, have a live stream... There'll be like a little banner or something at the top that says like "Go here to watch us now" or something like that.
What were you using? Like Google Hangouts?
Yeah,
we were using Hangouts this time.
I would have to dive into the API for that and look for something like that. In theory, I imagine it's possible, but I couldn't tell you without actually seeing if they have that functionality available for developers to use.
All right. Cool. Well,
it's
I guess a good idea
though.
Yeah, it could be something that we just did like manually though.
That too.
Yeah.
That'd be really easy to do.
Hmm. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I've always wanted TTV Talks to be a live stream format anyway.
Right.
So.
That was the initial plan
well
that we live
streamed.
Yeah, I think it worked well with that. So yeah. We should definitely do that more often.
We've been using Hangouts a lot more often too, and it's been a bit more smoother that way. So I think we can definitely start doing that a bit more often. And now of course everything will go on Vessel first. The recording will. So if you miss it, you just have to wait a week for it.
Or you can, you know, get that early access.
Yeah. Get that early
helps
access.
Show.
Helps us
helps
out
us make
a
more
lot.
More videos like this.
So
anyway,
all right.
So before the podcast, I drove out and picked up Iker.
Oh boy, like, how'd that go?
It was pretty cool. I'm kind of annoyed actually because I told my friend who works at Toys R Us to tell me when the sets are there. And, well, I didn't find out until I went there myself, so that didn't really work, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah, but, I went there, picked up Iker, because I've got Tahu. He was at Target, picked him up, too.
So did you do the Unity yet?
Yup.
How does that look in person?
I love it, dude. I think... So, back on the podcast before, I was talking about Tahu and how, like... He looks good, but he's got this thing where he's got, like, multiple textured armor, and he's too busy, and he looks kind of ugly, that kind of thing. Honestly, with the set in hand, now that I actually own him, the issue is still there. The armor's still kind of, you know, all cluttered and busy and conflicting, that kind of thing. But it doesn't bother me as much as I thought it would.
Hmm.
And I gotta say, like, Tahu is just... He's a fantastic set. I love Tahu so, so much. Like... It's like back when we first saw the initial leaked images and I was so excited about Phoenix Tahu, that concept. It's so cool to actually have him, and like I like him just as much as I thought I would.
That's what I'm thinking about. Like the set I'm wanting to get is just 2016 Tahu and the Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm hoping to pick up Tahu sometime today.
Because we have like, I don't have the 2015 Tahu, and I'm hoping to get that too. So I have like...
You really don't? You don't have the 2015 Tahu?
No, just never got it. So I can have Omega Tahu and then Phoenix Tahu and then whoever else will be at the end. I like the little nicknames.
I really like Phoenix Tahu. He was really cool.
Could we you know we had like Omega Tahu and Alpha Kopaka and all that stuff. Could we come up with like mythological code names for the other Toa alongside the Uniters thing? Like there's Phoenix Tahu.
What like Mermaid Golly or something?
I mean,
Phoenix Tahu, Mermaid Golly,
Mermaid
Stupid
Golly,
Kopaka.
Stupid Kopaka,
overly bulky Onua,
Frost Giant. Fresh and
freaking ugly Pohatu.
There we go.
Like just like different quote mythological unquote creatures.
Scorpion.
Maybe like what's a you know I don't know like what does Gali look like the combiner?
I also picked up Akita, so just to get that out of the way. And yeah, I don't know. I really like Gali. Like I've always liked Gali though, and like even with the initial leaks when I saw like her combiner mode, I liked her a lot then. Yeah. I still like her now. I think she's really, really cool. And I think her combiner and Tahu's are easily the strongest of the combiner unity forms.
Mm.
Hmm. And I guess Liwa's is pretty good, too. But then Liwa's got that arm issue.
Yeah, so. It's not as noticeable when he has, like, his weapons, because that, like, gives the illusion that his arms are longer. But without them, he just has, like, these little stubby arms.
Hey, it looks, like, super awkward, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same with Tahu a little bit, too, because Tahu's arms are also shorter than they should be as like far as real proportions go.
Maybe it's not so much the arms are too short, maybe it's that the body is just too long.
Well, I mean, like, his legs are in proportion, it's just the arms.
Hmm.
So it's like, if his arms were just, like, one module longer, they would be fine. But, like Purple mentioned, though, like, with his swords, it doesn't really matter that much. Like, I don't know, the illusion is kind of there that his arms are proper length. But I mean, like, even with that complaint, I think Tahu is just great. I love Tahu so much.
Yeah,
spicy meatball.
Yeah, also, like, I had assumed I was going to be like, well, as kind of as we had said from the pictures, discussing them, Onua is the de facto best set, and everything else is just trying to catch up to Onua. I don't actually think that's really the case. Obviously, I don't have all the sets yet. I have, like, Tahu, Kapaka, Onua, and Umarak, but out of the ones I have, Umarak notwithstanding, Tahu's totally the best Toa, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There are a couple weird problems with the rest of them that just really perturb me, and Tahu's surprisingly solid. He's really...
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, really the unity function with I-Curve, with the wings, the flapping is actually really well done.
Yeah.
I have noticed that because of the way I-Curve is built, his wings are poseable, which is good, kind of a necessary evil, like you want him to be able to pose him. However, it does kind of conflict with the motion a bit because like there's not a lot of friction in that ball joint that poses the wings. So when you do the function to flap the wings, if you do it too hard, the wings will kind of flop around a bit and like lose that position.
This makes me feel so happy. It's like Omega Tahu just got a lot more Omega Tahu. You know?
That's what I'm saying. Phoenix Tahu is cool.
Good. Phoenix Tahu is pretty great.
All the problems we talked about with Tahu beforehand, it's not like they've gone away. They're still there.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
But they're not evident as bad when you have the figure in hand, because you see all his other redeeming qualities. When you're looking at a picture and you have to analyze this super hard, you start to pick out all the different flaws. But as a figure, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah, he's just got such a cool, imposing just silhouette.
The poseability is where these sets really shine, I think. The waist gear
waist
adds
articulation,
a lot
right.
more than you would think at first glance.
Yeah, I really like the waist rotation thing. I think it was a good idea.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm afraid that LEGO's going to get rid of it next year. I hope not. I hope they keep it, because like, I really, really like the waist articulation.
I hope they keep it and manage to integrate other stuff in with it, like better arms and better shoulders.
If anything, they're probably just going to move on to what they're using for the Star Wars construction sets. You know,
which is funny because I went on a tour of every single like shop that sells stuff near my area, and I did not find any Bionicle.
You've got an interesting story about that too, don't you?
Well, it's not that interesting. Well, basically, I just ended up getting Rey.
No. I thought the story was interesting.
Well, we went through this thing where we were like, I didn't want to tell it because I didn't want people to emulate it. So
even though I didn't
do anything wrong, I think people might get it, like take it too far. Overzealous.
Yeah. I get you.
Yeah. So
I get you. Probably
that's
not
I
a good
want
thing to
tell
about
it.
That. Then.
But basically,
oh, okay, that story.
Yeah, that story. But I did one, and I got Rey. Which is the set I was actually the most excited for outside of Phoenix Tahu and Umarak. Listen, you can't... We don't know the official...
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm with you there, Kai. That one's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
All right,
it's probably Umarak.
Umarak.
I
for
built
all we know,
Rey
the
during the live
stream. For all we know, the official pronunciation is probably Umarak.
Probably. I mean, yeah,
just so it could sound a lot more, I don't know, tribal.
He's edgy.
He likes tribal. Rock. Yeah. He's got a metal band. Umarak and the Rocks.
The only 2016 set I've managed to pick up was Akita. It was the one and only Bionicle 2016 set they had at Barnes & Noble. And it was just there, surrounded by 2015 sets. Man. Like, so I was like, okay, I'll give you
one. I went to the Barnes & Noble, and I was like, hey, do you have this? You know, do you have any of the Bionicle sets? And he says, we don't have any in stock. He's like, this is what we have in back. This is how many we have in the store, and it's zero. I said, okay, are you planning on getting them anytime soon? He's like, from what it's looking like, we're not going to be ordering them. But if you want one, we can order it and have it delivered to the store. I was like, you know what? By that time, I just get it through Amazon Prime.
Yeah, by that time, you can do literally anything else.
I'm going to be ordering Tahu and Ikir, and I'm also going to be ordering the Art of Star Wars, because that's like $20 instead of $40.
Art of Star Wars, you and your art books.
Yeah. You know, my thing is like, you know, it kind of sucks I wasn't able to get like too many sets that day that I got Akita, but at the same time, I've grown such an appreciation for that little set.
Like, oh, Akita's really nice.
It. Yeah.
When it comes to buying stuff in bulk, it's like, you know, you lose that appreciation for the sets.
You don't really appreciate each individual set. You're just like, oh, I got it all complete. Now it's time to display them. You know, at least that's how it was with 2015, because I managed to complete that line in no time. But with Akita, it's like, oh, this is the only one I have. Might as well make do.
Yeah. And like what Purple mentioned, like it comes with a little stand, too, which is actually quite
I can't tell you
nice
how much
I've
been playing with that stand.
Spinning it around.
Akita on the stand.
I like that they've been including that, though, because like, they did it with the Mask of Creation, too.
Yeah.
It's really appreciated.
It is appreciated, because like me, I don't really play with the sets, I display them, so like it's very appreciated.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, like Akita's a really nice set. I'm impressed with the creatures. Like all of like a current Akita that I got, like I wasn't expecting their builds to be as complex as they are.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of a breath of fresh air compared to the Protectors, which were like they had good builds, but they were all kind of, you know, just sort of the same like humanoid build.
Pretty simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like super complex or anything, but like.
Yeah, like their weapons were probably more complex than they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, but yeah, that like the weapons were basically what kind of set them all apart. With the creatures, it's very different. So, really cool. I also like the shadow traps a lot. Like,
yeah.
Way much more than the skull spiders.
There's certainly a lot more involved. There's a lot more to them.
They're a lot bigger than I expected them to be.
They're
pretty huge.
Like,
I guess, I mean, they are intended to catch the creatures, I guess. So.
Like, when I was, like, taking a look at all the parts, I picked up the bear trap parts. I'm like, oh my god, these things look deadly.
They make perfect teeth, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they're also unique, too. Like, I don't know how it is for every creature, but with Akita and Ikur, I wasn't expecting Akita's creature, Shadow Trap, to look so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the propeller on the back and the long legs.
Yeah, it's got a propeller and the long legs.
Yeah, really they're all pretty different, except for Umarax, which you disassemble from him and build. His is a carbon copy of Ikir's.
So, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we don't have one for Melum.
No, we do not. And it's really frustrating. It's another reason why I don't know, it's a weird bias I have against that set, because I looked at the box image, and it has shadow traps in the background with blue legs. I'm like, come on now, Lego. How hard would this have been?
I guess you could substitute that with Umarax.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
But it's not unique.
But then I'm having green legs. And that just wouldn't do.
Yeah, and like Umarak would not have shoulder pads or like toes. So
it's not a perfect situation, but it does. It could work if you really wanted to, I guess.
But if you try sometime,
yeah,
just might find. You get
bootleg,
what you
just
need.
Might find a bootleg shadow trap.
I just placed an order for Phoenix Tahu.
Good for you.
Nice.
Nice.
Really, it's coming in on Wednesday. Fingers crossed.
Well, it's like,
yay!
And a Tahu. Tao's cool. Does anybody else here have Kapaka?
I do.
Okay, you do. What do you think of Kapaka and Melum?
They were okay. I mean, they weren't like the best, but they were just kind of average for me, I guess. Like
same, except Kapaka's average because I really like how he looks, except for when he just like I figured when I try to pose his shoulders, it's really annoying. Like it does work, but it looks a little off.
It looks cool personal, when he's just, like, standing, but, like, when you pose it, it kind of looks a little peculiar.
Exactly. What I am kind of iffy towards, I really dislike Melum, honest with you. I don't like him. Not one bit.
And Bar's
over here praising the creatures, and I'm like, well, I hope the rest of them are better than Melum is.
You like Melum. Like, you know you do.
He's awful. He's like this you small guy yourself. With stubby limbs like and nice awkward posability. He has redeeming qualities.
I like the stubby limbs.
He has a really complex build, and that's about the only thing he has going for him. His proportions are awkward, and he's hard to pose.
I know you love
I don't
his
like
function.
The big hollow head.
I know you love his function, dude.
I really like the creature mask.
No,
yeah, I do too.
I like them a lot.
It's a little too big for me. And it's, again, to facilitate that unity function that I'm not sure will end up being worth it for all, like, the sacrifices they had to do. But
I think the unity system is absolutely worth it. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except maybe not Poatu's. Poatu's just a crappy set. So.
Poatu's, like, super cluttered.
That's the one I'm most looking forward to getting. Maybe just because of all of the bias, or, well, not bias against it, but...
Well, are you going to get Poatu?
It's the first one I'm going to get. Oh,
no, Var. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to buy him, no. I've got plans towards getting him, but like I'm not gonna buy him with my own money.
Wait, wow.
Okay. Yeah, I do not like Poatu one bit. And like I'm sure once I get the set and I have him in hand, like he'll start to grow on me and I'll be able to like enjoy him and like say he's probably gonna have like some redeeming qualities. Like, oh, I really like the way his torso is built or something, kind of thing. Or, like, I really like his mask. I think that's worth it. But, like, at the end of the day, the flaws that I see are still going to be there. Like, I like Tahu a lot, but once again, all the flaws that I've said about him before, I still agree with those.
True.
Like, I still think he has those flaws. So it's like, even with Poatu, I won't hate him, but I still won't like him.
Fair enough.
So, I don't know. I know there's a lot of people that like Poatu out there, and I kind of feel bad that I, like, diss on him so much, because, like, I don't want to make them feel bad.
This is why LEGO's job is to make sure you are invested in the characters, that even if the sets come out subpar, people will still buy them.
Yeah, that way you're not so shallow about...
I gotta have the newest version of Poatu, because I loved it when he kicked stuff
Beauty
15
is
years
only
ago.
I love
Poatu
deep.
For his personality. He reminds
me
of Batman.
Beauty's only shell deep, I should say.
There's a lot of that, though. Like, a lot of people, like, will buy... Like, they've got a ritual where, like, their first set... Like, my first set was Golly, for instance, back in 2001. So, for a lot of people, they'd be like, I'm going to get Golly as my first set from now on. You know, whenever there's a Golly, I'm going to get that as my first one.
Yeah, I know.
I even saw a video of someone... but this is before the sets came out. And, like, he made a video of him going to Barnes & Noble and, like, seeing all the sets there. But he was there for Kopaka because that's the one he always gets. And they had every set but Kopaka.
Oh, no.
He was like, no, what do I do? I think that was, I could be wrong. I think it was Leo Alexander on the boards that made that video. So, you know, that like matters to people, the characters and everything.
Very true, I suppose. I was going to look at it that way. I got Gale as my first set as well. And I got, let's see what my first 2015 set was. It was like, Onua, I think, my first actual set. And then 2016, it was Tahu, so I mean, the journey continues.
Yeah, my first Tahu was Liwa.
Mine's all over the place.
Yeah.
Although, granted, in most ways, I only ever got one set from, just because I didn't have the kind of money it would take to buy it. Yeah, I mean, after I collected the Toa and the Toa Nuva for Gen 1, I usually just got, like, the red set. Because Red always had the characters I was interested in. So Jala's the only Anika and the only Mari I have.
Takuma,
when 2008
you
hit,
the
but
excellence of the rest of the Toa Mari. Like Kongu and Matora.
Matora's
I
cool.
I wish I had all the sets, but I just couldn't afford it.
So I look back on a lot of G1 sets that I really liked at the time and compare them to the G2 sets nowadays.
Not like G1 sets, man.
Let's just say they looked better back then. Well, yeah, leave it at that.
Yeah, Bionicle has progressed for the better, IMO.
Yeah. I only got one Glatorian set, and that was actually the Vorox.
Good choice. Mm. If you had to get one, that was a tan party.
You know, I don't think I ever got a Galatorian set. I got two Galatorian legends.
Oh,
it was it was a Carr and Mata Nui, but I never got any from the first wave.
It was strange because that once the Galatorian came around, all the red sets kind of dropped to the bottom for me, which was weird. After Vorox, the next one I was interested in was I can't remember their names. What's the not Gresh, the other green Galatorian?
Vastus.
Yeah, that one.
It's because the tan opened your mind, opened your eyes past the red overload and into the realm of color variety, and you realize suddenly there's other stuff in the world.
No, it's just a more interesting one.
The red sets are always the best sets.
I mean, come on. Like, if I were to get any of the Galatorian first wave, it would have been, what's his face?
Malum.
Malum, yeah. I was about to say Melum, and I was like, wait a minute, his name's not Melum.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
I did not care for that one at all.
Really? I think he looks so good.
He was pretty cool. He was a little too short from me. He was pretty...
Yeah, I can see that. He was pretty short.
Red set is the best set. Tell that to William Furno from Hero Factory.
I mean...
Furno 2.0.
Like,
goggles.
I mean, Furno was pretty cool until Rocka came around.
Actually,
so, like,
I really liked the Ice Galatorian from the Winter Wave. Oh, man.
Strack.
Was you mean the one that looks like a Hero Factory figure? Not a Bionicle one?
No, don't go back to this. Go back to
Dude,
this
he
one.
Looks like he's from
he
Hero
does.
Factory.
He does.
He does not look like a Bionicle set at all.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. But I still liked him.
Fair enough.
I mean, like, that's not to say that he's a bad set or anything. I'm just saying, like, me, when I look at him, I'm just like, the Hero Factory roots are, like, clearly there for me.
The only 2010 set that, 2009 set that I got, I nearly said 29. I was like, that doesn't sound
29
sound right.
Set.
Which is kind of strange that happened. Basically, I got Kina, and she was the only one I got. I told my siblings to get Toa Mata Nui, and instead they got Kina. So, A-plus siblings.
That is a very sad state of affairs.
I mean, it was a present, so I couldn't be like, oh, I'll go back and take it, you know. But, like, at the same time, I was like...
That is very disappointing.
I wanted me a Nika, and instead I got...
Hey, even though...
We're talking about, like, disappointment with sets. And, like, buying them and buyer's regret towards sets. Let's talk about Kylo Ren, because, like...
I want to talk to you about Kylo Ren, because I have Rey, and I know you wanted Rey.
I wanted
Rey.
I don't know why I got Kylo Ren. I don't... For whatever reason, I just saw him, and I was like, I'm going to get Kylo Ren. I went there to get Rey.
Used a Jedi mind trick on you.
Was Rey there?
Yes! Rey was there! I don't know why I didn't get Rey!
Rey? Okay, one thing I have to really admit...
Oh, I know why.
What?
Because I was so shocked that they were even there and that, like, the Toa were there. Because I went to my Target only to get Tahu because I knew Tahu was there. But I got there, saw that the rest of the Bionicle 2016 sets were there, and was so angry because I had just bought them all on ToysRUs.com.
Mm.
So I was like, in my defeated attitude, I was like, the other sets are here. I can't just get one set. I got to get something else. And Kylo Ren was just the first thing I saw.
I don't know, man. All the pictures I've seen of him, and I've looked at in-depth review photos, I really like him.
I don't like it. He's not worth $24 at all.
I give you that.
$24?
Yeah.
He's $24! I got him. I thought he was $15. The price tags weren't on the shelves. So I got him. I get to the counter, and I check him out, and the guy tells me the price, and I'm like, ah, my wallet, no!
I completely get you, because, like, all the other stuff, like, Grievous is $5 more. He's $30. Grievous is worth $30.
Grievous is an incredible
set. If you have not gotten General Grievous, you need to go get General Grievous, because he is an incredible parts, like, bin for that, like,
amount of
price.
He's only gonna go up.
I'm going
to go up. I'm going,
before he's out, I'm buying a General Grievous and just, like, you know, keeping it in the box. I'm going to buy several of them and just keep them in the box and then sell them later. That set is going to increase in price drastically.
Yeah, but it's just like, I mean, that really goes to show, like, because, like, General Grievous is only $30, right? You get that set, you open it up, you build them.
35? Yeah.
Is it
35?
Yes,
no,
35.
Really?
Oh,
true?
Okay. Oh, never mind then.
All right, never mind. $10, yeah, that makes sense. Never mind, okay.
Yeah.
Listen.
All right, well, I still feel like 35 is, like, worth it, though, for that set. Like, he's just good. Like, I got the set, he's huge.
Yeah.
He's giant.
Massive.
He's awesome, he's complex, I love it. Kylo Ren, though, I got that set, I was like, I tried to justify it, I was like, I just spent $24 on this thing. I hope he's good. So I go home and I build him. And as I like open the box and pour the parts out of the box, I'm like, whew, it's not a lot of parts. It doesn't look like there's a lot of variety here. I'm sure the build will be good. I build him. I'm like, oh, this is disappointing. $24, is he worth $24? Just let me finish him. Finished him. Put the stupid cape on, and I'm like, yeah, I hate this set.
I will say
I could
this.
Not justify $24. I hate Kylo Ren.
I will say this, and we kind of had a little bit of this discussion off air, but I'll repeat it for the audience's sake. On the one hand, I will agree with you that the quality gulf between Kylo Ren and Grievous is not $10. You know what I mean? There's a far wider discrepancy here from what the sets are actually worth and what they include. At the same time, he does have three more parts than Tahu 2015.
Right.
And like, he does have a licensing fee, and he does have two cloth parts.
See, my thing is that Tahu 2015 was overpriced too.
Yep.
I don't think he was worth $20 either, but I'm able to, like, do that because of the brand, because I like Bionicle, I like Tahu.
Yep.
My devotion to Tahu was worth that price.
Right.
You didn't
Kylo
really
Ren
get any of the Star Wars
is not
sets.
At that level, though.
Right.
Like, I didn't even want Star Wars sets. So, yeah, like, I could not justify paying $24 for Kylo Ren. And, like, let me be clear, my issue isn't really with the set itself, because, honestly, I think the set is, he's okay. He's not that bad. But $24, that's my thing.
Yeah,
that's
no,
when you
I'm
get
right
hit with the licensing costs.
Yeah, that's what I'm just like, I can't believe I bought this.
If now, that Bart, set how's did not torso have the cape, and if he wasn't a Star Wars set, he'd be $15. Let's be real.
Right.
How's the torso construction? How is that? Because I'm looking at Kylo Ren, he looks like a normal, like, you know, Hero Factory set, so.
Oh, no, he's not. The torso is actually surprisingly complex, in a way.
Okay.
He has a gearbox, like the Toa. I didn't expect that. And the way they incorporate the gearbox is so much nicer than the 2015 Toa do. Like, the parts are, I guess, specially molded for that piece because, like, everything goes together so flush and so well.
Right.
Whereas, like, the 2015 Toa set, it felt kind of clunky. Like, things were just kind of plopped on
so
top of one
like
another.
Rey in that regard, then, because I know Rey has that type of build too.
Yeah, Rey has a very nice like back armor. That's also the headpiece part. I don't
well,
because
the main hook for the Star Wars way, the thing they did differently is that they did integrate gearboxes, but they also have that new back armor piece and the new torso piece that's exclusive to them. That's kind of the big deal everybody cares about with these sets, and they're like, man. What's really weird is the Star Wars set, a little detail. I noticed earlier we were talking about Bionicle and how they could have done stuff. But the 2016 Star Wars sets, you'll notice they don't have the neck built in, you know, into the new torso. They don't have a neck ball joint.
Yeah.
The Bionicle 2016 sets do. If the Bionicle 2015, if the Bionicle 2016 wave had the Star Wars torso with the waist gear and no neck, you could fit the gearbox on the torso. It's the neck joint that makes it to where that doesn't work, supposedly, from what I've heard.
Wow.
So, it's pretty frustrating, but you can incorporate the gearbox into the Star Wars figures, and it works really well.
No, the way the gearbox
are we talking
works.
About 2015 or 2016?
2016. Using their waist gear, if there was a different torso that was like the Star Wars torso, but had the gear at the end, at the bottom of the torso, you could have both functions, gearbox and...
Well, no, because they would still try to incorporate the Unity feature.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, for future waves, you were saying earlier, I hope they don't ditch waist gears.
Oh, okay, so, Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying now.
They could make a simple...
So if we're going with 2017 sets, I hope they keep the waist articulation and use the Star Wars torso.
Yeah.
The Star Wars torso is
I don't know how
really
I would
nice.
Feel about two big freaking gears sticking out of the...
It'd be great,
sets,
man.
Well,
you can do everything.
My thing is,
you ever
the thing with the waist articulation, it doesn't have to use that gear. It doesn't need the gear. Just keep that point of articulation.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it does have a lot of friction, doesn't it?
It has
so much friction that the function itself is almost useless.
Ah, okay.
But for posing purposes and, like, just, like, playing with it, that extra point of articulation is so cool.
Yeah,
I like
no,
it a lot.
No, never mind, then. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, listen, working. In case there's designers listening in, man, just hands. Hands and fingers...
Hands and fingers would be really
I'm
cool.
telling hands you guys, fingers. Hands and fingers, I am the missionary. I am like the John the Baptist for hands and fingers when it comes to Bionicle. I'm preparing the way. Okay, I'm like, I'm freaking, listen, the hands are the best thing. Oh, for articulated fingers, probably the best thing that's ever, like, I've ever gotten in the history of, like, stuff for construction figures.
Guys,
they
just
make
think.
The set so much more personable and, like, make posability way more fun. They make everything tie it. It feels like an actual action figure.
I do have to agree with you because, like, your self mock, for instance, is kind of a, it's not to insult effect. You or anything, yeah. but a very meh
yeah,
mock.
Yeah, it's not that good.
But the hands that you've added to it make your mock so much better.
So right. expressive.
It's so, yeah, there's it's so much personality more to my poses. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I'm getting a new set of hands that's green because I'm making a little LJ mock. So like me and LJ will be like,
aww.
Yeah. So like we're gonna do like stuff for Don't Fight and like little pictures and stuff. But
awesome.
I'm getting one
do
for
they
like
still
I'm,
have
I'm, using, an... I'm making a Meso one and making one for you. I'm making all of this like Matoran sized with like aww. That articulate hands so you can do like all this stuff.
Oh, that'll be
but,
cool.
Yeah, but man, the hands, they add so much personality to the build that it's incredible to me how one piece adds so much to the entirety of the set as a whole. So I would say that if LEGO's going to make a improvement in one area, and I mean, they probably have gone over it, and maybe just pricing or pieces or whatever, but I would say if they had to introduce a new feature next year, you know, get rid of Unity, because they're not going to do that again, I don't think, hands would definitely be it.
Here's the reason they're not going to do that. But I mean, there is a workaround, but here's the reason they're not going to. Because they want the sets to be able to hold the weapons.
I was
going to
say, those custom ones you have still have, like, a bit for the axle to go in?
They do.
They do?
Well, you can... you
like an actual
about that.
Axle
they
insert
do not,
area,
yeah, they
or
do,
just
they don't
the
have
hand,
an
the fingers can wrap around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, alright, so, like, the fingers can wrap around
you
it,
can
but,
attach.
Like,
you can attach something, you can attach an axle to the other part of the hand with a thumb. Like, the other end of the... Like, there's one end with a thumb, and there's another end, and it doesn't have anything. You can attach, like, a little axle there, and if you attach, like, a piece there, it'll actually hold the weapon, and you can put the fingers around that.
Where'd you get these custom hands again? Shapeways?
Yeah, Shapeways. I forget who... I should definitely give credit to...
I believe
whoever,
it was Leewon.
Whoever made
it. Eurobricks, I believe.
What? Yeah, Leewon. Leewan. He has
a wizard. Wizard of Shapeways.
And I believe he made, like, I got one that was, like, lower quality just to see how it would work. I'm now ordering the highest quality ones he has. Or, like, completely. Because
how much
they're,
is
like,
that going to run you?
It'd be, like, $30. So, kind of a lot. But, man, for my own self mock, I think
those hand
pieces
are really cool, though.
They're really cool.
What if they break? How mad would you be?
Well, I've already lost the fingers for one of them. So, I've got to get, like, I'm getting this new one to be, you know.
How could you lose the fingers?
Because it, like, my mock fell off a thing, and one of the fingers, like...
Oh, that sucks.
I couldn't find it. Like, I looked
that's
all
awful.
Over, and I couldn't find it. It's such a
yeah,
small piece,
sucks.
You know? So...
It's beyond terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, so I'm looking at the hand now. I see what you mean.
Right.
That's interesting. They would have to work around that, though. I think another workaround they could do is to simply just include multiple hands, like some toys do.
Right,
like,
right.
Play Arts Kai sets and, like, Gundam sets... They include different
oh, yeah.
hands for various
yeah, that's
posing.
A really smart
yeah.
idea, honestly.
Yeah. So they could include one hand for holding like the weapon and then another hand for posing.
And I mean,
we don't
like,
get
definitely...
our collectible masks this time around, but we get collectible hands.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Well,
collectible
kind of, maybe. I think that'd be cool, but it's just
oh, man,
like also
you
that
guys
kind
I will say, okay, 27
hands. Hand packs have come out. I gotta go buy like 20
go to Toys R Us and get the hand pack.
Articulated hands are the kind of thing where it's like, I'm sure Leewon is great. He's not a professional designer. I'm sure if LEGO was to like commit to this idea and get all their professional designers working on
they
them,
could probably come up
they
with
could
a piece
probably come up with like
work.
A piece that would be able to hold a weapon, be able to articulate, be, you know, fit mm-hmm. well, not fall off, you know, or get lost or that kind of thing. That they could definitely do that and stick with that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, hey. So. Well, dialing it back.
Okay.
What did I,
You know where you do see fingers being posed? The graphic novel!
Wow.
Segue.
But I was just, get fine. Okay.
So, or were you going somewhere else with that?
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
It was next on the list. Actually, it was
yeah, you're
before
right.
on the list.
Takuma, you're breaking the immersion. Now they know there's a list.
Who knows what list I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the list of stuff that Ryder Windham put into the story.
It could
story.
Be the list of things that I'm going to stop caring about. It could be the list of people in the community that I'm going to... Never mind.
So how is the graphic novel? Have any of you guys read it?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, so.
I haven't.
I have.
I think me, Kai, and Takuma have. So we'll probably have another discussion about it in the future when more of you have read it. But in short, I'll tell you this. It is worth buying and reading. Because we were skeptical of how they were going to do the graphic novel beforehand, and it was like the Amazon page had this blurb where it was like Protector's Guide to Okoto, and there were going to be maps and myths and legends, and it was going to add so much world building in this little guidebook. Yeah, no, the guidebook is entirely rehashed information, except for one bit about the Mask of Time and the Temple of Time. But the actual graphic novel itself.
What's it called again? What's the name of the graphic novel?
Gathering of the Toa.
Gathering of the Toa.
It scratches the comic itch.
Yes, it really does. It's contained of 6 mini-stories, and it's like adventures people get into during the story of the winter wave of 2015. Like, there's the Lost Fight, there's getting your golden masks, there's a little protector thing, and it's really... It is so appreciated to see the world of Okoto in a visual way. You have... you do have an idea. But, like, me especially, because I've complained about, like, culture in the past. In this book, we have everything from... We actually see a village. We see another city. We see Rahi. We see, like, villagers and their kids and families.
I did see a picture of, like, Pohatu and some, like, Rahi dogs. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that is cool.
I want those as a set. I want them.
It's not a perfect graphic novel. There's a lot of art mistakes and flubs where people have the wrong colors. Or, like, there's the weird weapons where they're placed where they shouldn't be.
Yeah, wait, I remember one of you guys.
The original comics, though.
I remember one of you guys said that Pohatu's mask looked like a dog face or something.
Yep, the masks are weird. Some animals. Of the interpretations of them are questionable, to say the least. Kopaka has like almost a Darth Vader helmet at times, where it like slopes down the back of his head and it's really round.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. But the graphic novel itself, for what it does, is very, very cool. And I would definitely recommend buying it. People have asked if we're going to do a book club thing on it. No. There's not a lot to talk about. But we may revisit it in the future. But, like, Kai, do you have anything you want to say?
That whole Bahi thing with the, you know, upper and lower half.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of the book. In short...
Everybody gave us grief about that, but it turned out to be a thing.
It's a complex situation. Because in the actual graphic novel, they show the Vahi, the Mask of Time, supposedly, and it is the Vahi from G1. It looks exactly the same, but it looks exactly the same, which probably means it was a placeholder stock image, because Lego didn't give the artist the design for the Mask of Time. But it creates a conundrum, because later on in the book, it says we finally have confirmation... Oh, gee, I wonder, you know, I'm really shocked by this turn of events. The Mask of Time is 2 parts.
Mm-hmm.
2 halves, and the upper half is in Okoto, and the lower half, nobody knows where it is, and they've never seen an illustration of it, and they have no knowledge about its whereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there is a silhouette of a mask in that same little blurb, but I can't actually tell if it's supposed to be the Mask of Time. It almost looks like a silhouette of 2015 Tahu's mask, but
it
I
is.
Actually
it's
compared
a,
to be
it's
sure.
It's just a house silhouette. So I see a bunch of people going like, oh, the clear how is the Mask of Time, and I'm like, no.
Yeah,
that's a stretch.
Not,
come
that's
on, guys.
Kind of, yeah.
That's not a stretch. That's like...
Yeah, that's just like, I don't know, it's making obvious. A connection through something.
Obviously, we'll go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. The common theory is that in the G1 universe, there's the lower half of the Vahi. That's the theory circulating.
Right. And I mean, that's the theory that we kind of started back in when we initially heard about this at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that seemed like to us.
To be fair,
the thing is, to be fair, we were half right, half wrong when we like reported on that because like right now there is no confirmation that that is actually the case that G1 has the lower half, even though that's kind of the implication here.
This blurb in the back of the graphic novel also mentions that I can't remember if it was the Mask or the Temple. I think it was the Temple of Time. Is believed to connect Okoto with other, like, worlds across space and time and such and so. So, if we want to be fair, there is still a chance.
Right.
Technically speaking.
I mean, listen, it was told by, you know, other people who were working closer to Lego said that wasn't the case. Predominantly, like, people from BZ Power and stuff said that, you know, and they had been involved with the creation of that line, so...
Yeah, but BZ Power also said that Bionicle wasn't coming back.
Well, I don't know if that was that the actual people who were involved, because there's only like three of them. I remember there was something on the site.
It was Black Six on Twitter.
Was it on Twitter? Where yeah. Have that? I should find that tweet.
Yeah, he said it. He said it's not true. But so I mean, like it's kind of hard to say like what some people actually know and what they didn't. I don't know. Yeah.
Come on, you can't get a text message during the podcast and not read it. Read it out loud.
Read it out loud. Wow. Well, I was like, we'll have to wait and see in time, because I already see a lot of people who prior were vehemently opposed to even considering the possibility that this is the case.
Yeah, okay, see, that's my thing.
They're now reacting shocked.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Boy.
The issue wasn't so much that, like, we were saying it was a continuation or not. The issue was that we were trying to say that this means that there was a possibility for it, that LEGO has ambiguous for a reason.
In the initial article we did.
Yeah. But, like, we already, like, admitted that was wrong.
No, that was the wrong thing to do. That's one of the things that we're correcting alongside the leaks, is, like, make sure, you know, double-check stuff and make sure you get multiple sources and stuff.
But after that, like, the whole argument was that, like, you can't really say one way or the other at this point. It's ambiguous. So, like, you can't just deny the possibility that there is a connection, which people were doing for some reason. It's just as bad as saying that there is a continuation.
I also don't really understand why people default when the subject of a continuation is brought up. People default to a situation like Marvel Comics, where there's multiple universes and they come together and they fight, or they explode and they're destroyed.
Secret Wars, it's like, Bionicle Secret Wars.
It's like these people just have no creativity when it comes to this, huh?
Well,
it's like
they
there's
jump
only
to the
one
worst case
possibility
scenario.
Right, yeah. Where they're gonna fight. I mean, I definitely have always thought it's going to be a thing, kind of like we're talking about, like Terminator or either Terminator or the new, like, the Star Trek movies, or, like, any of the movies that have old continuity that's gone back and restarted, like, just erased because of time travel. Like, Days of Future Past, too. Well, Days of Future Past is a little bit more involved than I think the reboot is, because it had a whole movie about the two universes going at each other. But the same concept in which you're like, yeah, sure, stuff happened before, but that's not important right now. That's just a way to, you know, maybe possibly open up that possibility to tie things together so it's not completely lost.
It's like the possibility of it being a continuation suddenly makes it not a reboot.
Right.
But it's like, it can be
Star Trek is a reboot, 100%.
Yeah, it can be both.
Soft reboot.
And I've always assumed, even back when we initially learned about this, that, like, that the possibility of there being a continuation, that these universes are connected, doesn't mean, like, it's still going to be handled like a reboot. I don't think that even if
they
say...
The impact on the new line would be minimal.
Right. Any interaction would be completely minimal. Like, if at all. Other than just, yeah, this is the thing.
This happened.
I don't think... It doesn't mean that Tahu is going to suddenly travel from Akoto to Mata Nui every summer to visit the Matoran at Takoro or something.
Which people actually seem to... think like, that's the angle like I was going with.
Right.
I've always envisioned it in my head. I don't know if this is how they actually do it. This is how I've always thought about it. It's like a Bionicle ends, 3-year run, the Toa return to their home, and like there's like a voiceover in the show explaining like, oh, the Toa are learning or whatever, and maybe somebody's telling them, and there's like, you were sent here from an ancient land that no longer needed you to help us, and an image flashes up on the screen, a misty hologram of like Mata Nui, the island of Mata Nui.
Right,
and that's
it.
This is your home. You are now going back.
Right, and that would be like the only reference.
That's
to
all you need to know.
Yeah, we don't need the two universes to interact at all for it to still be connected. I don't know why people are weird, dude.
Well, I mean, yeah, no. Granted, all speculation, and this is definitely the speculation part of the podcast where we're going through and not has not been confirmed. But that's how I would feel, and I would like it to be handled. Is just this kind of like, oh yeah, this is where you were from at some point, and that's a little reference for people. Like in the LEGO movie, where they're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, some other lines that also did things.
Some other universes here, and we're like, oh. But, hey, that is technically, like, if you think about it, that confirms that Bionicle is in the LEGO movie multiverse.
True.
At least Gen 1.
About it.
At least Gen 1. Yeah.
Only Gen 1.
Yeah, but, like, if there is a continuation, then, I mean,
Together. I mean, listen, I would not be opposed in the LEGO movie 2 if there's an actual Bionicle 2015 cameo in there.
Yeah.
And I guess it could, cool. I guess technically speaking, it doesn't have to be like...
I know what, a shadow trap should come out of nowhere and like catch a minifigure.
That would be perfect. Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, that'd be really cool.
That would be...
Or a random villager just run around.
We could also
somewhere.
Say that like technically the universe of Bionicle in the LEGO movie is completely different because it's obviously not the Star Wars universe that's in the LEGO movie, so...
No, but it's a LEGO Star Wars universe. Which is different than the actual.
Right, Star Wars but like none of the LEGO Star Wars movies are canon in that. Like
pretty
the
sure we're about like to hit terminal velocity and create a black hole in the space time continuation if we keep going on about this.
Multiverses in the parallel.
Oh, wow. I just realized it's already 55 minutes.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, we didn't get a I was going to press this. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Brick Fair or.
Yeah.
Podcast material for weeks to come.
Of all the things for me not to be around for the announcement for, it would be Brick Fair.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't
because
there.
I've actually been there twice already.
Yeah. For those not aware, if you didn't watch the 3-hour-long TTV Talks episode, we are going to Brick Fair. TTV is going to be a Brick Fair.
Brick Fair, Virginia, specifically.
Brick Fair, Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia in August.
We should make that clear.
As of current, the only confirmed people are me, Var, LJ, and Kai, but we're going to try to get as many people as we can.
Yeah. The plan is basically to get, like, everyone at TTV there, but,
As long as I have a job, I'll be there, but that's
things
question.
Might come up, but, like, us four, those four that we just mentioned, are confirmed going. We are going to be there.
We are going to be there. I'm going to be moving there at that time, so I will definitely be there.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of fun. The whole time. So, for all of you that want to go, but, like, have to convince your parents or something, which is perfectly understandable, you've got 8 months to do it.
Well, have fun. If you're in the area too, I mean, like if you're in the area and Brick Fair tickets are kind of cheap, but just say we'll probably do a meetup. So I mean, you
I'm
should
sure we'll do a meetup
comment
somewhere.
Or
that
say
won't
something
be
that,
in
you know,
a sketchy park,
right?
Don't worry.
It's how far is where are we going to be at? What town is it going to be? What town is Brick Fair in?
Chantilly, Virginia.
Chantilly, yeah.
Chantilly, isn't it like an hour or so from DC?
I got no clue.
Yes, about I think.
All right, so, I mean, if you guys are in the D.C. area or something, I mean, we might, and I don't know if people do excursions in D.C. or something. We'll figure out something so that, you know, people around that area can come by and say hi to us, and we can just, you know, hang out for a bit, do a bit of a meetup, you know, say some stuff, make a couple of videos of people there.
Okay, Chantilly is actually only 39 minutes from D.C.
Okay, all right, if you live around that area, or in the Virginia area, you know, around the East Coast.
We'll schedule something out as it gets closer, but Brick Fair 2016 is going to be August. The public days are August 6th and August 7th, 2016, at the Dallas Expo Center in Chantilly, Virginia.
Right.
And we're going to be there for more days, hopefully, maybe, we'll see.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, we're going to be there for a long while, and we're going to do a lot of videos. That's our main thing. We're going to be filming.
It's not
going
to be like New York Comic Con where we want to do videos and we get caught up in catastrophe. Oh no, we are going to
make
videos.
We'll be there for long enough that we need to do videos, and we'll have way more smartphones
for a little bit.
So yeah,
so it'll be a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll be
definitely
like
come out to Virginia and say hi to us.
You know,
yep. New year filled with new possibilities and new Bionicle story and new trips and new Bionicle sets. It's going to be. It's going to be great.
It's really fun. So.
It's going to be so great, a great cheese.
Oh, my God.
It's been a while since I've heard that.
How are you?
You've been on the first episode. Alive. You have been on the first episode of 2016. It's a great
honor.
Whoa,
cool.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I know, right?
That's cool.
It's been a really mellow episode. Cool.
So we always get new cast members around the I already laughed at myself, so it's
a right. Your grammar is not a right. Your grammar is a wrong.
Around the like December ish. I was just talking to Demesso saying that like the last when I first came, it was December as well. It was around the later half of 2010 is when I first came. So it's 6 years. It's going. This is my 6th year being here as part of the podcast.
Crazy,
and,
crazy.
Viper came around that time. I think X and Takuma came around that time as well. So, man,
it's
been
more the summer. I think
maybe. Yeah, it might have been a bit more in the summer. But man,
no,
it's been a long ride after all these years, man.
We got a lot of plans for this year that don't involve announcing stuff that will never come out. We have, like, actual concrete plans.
We have actual concrete plans. We got
some
stuff
was supposed to be done for this episode. We were going to, like, pull back the curtain, but it didn't get done in time, so maybe next week.
Well, I mean, we can talk about one thing. Can we talk about that one thing? Can we announce that? This is the newest
episode. Are we doing this thing again where we're like, can we talk about this one
thing?
Well,
see, the issue with that one thing is that the logistics of that plan aren't, like, completely finalized
yet. Fair enough.
I don't even know which one thing we're talking about.
Let's make sure it's moved out beforehand, but, yeah. All the stuff that I do because I'm not working on videos, that's going to come.
All your secretive plans.
All my secretive plans.
That'll come soon.
That'll come very soon.
Alrighty, then. Well, Purple, on a scale of 1 to 10, how'd you enjoy being on your first TTV podcast?
9.5.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
What's such a high mark? We're never going to live up to that next episode. We're going to be like, we're going to be 8.
14.5 out of 15. Concept could have been better.
Concept could have been a little better. Could have had a little less Bionicle, a little more other stuff, like singing.
And I still haven't found...
That song's my shtick.
What I'm looking for. Story of Bionicle 2016 hunting. Okay.
Seriously. Wow.
Well, hey, this has been episode 176 of the TTV podcast. Tune in next week where we'll probably kind of still be going along these same lines. Hopefully more people will have Bionicle sets, more people will have read the books and stuff. We can have another discussion about this. Always check us out on Vessel at vessel.com/ the TTV channel for 1 week early access to all of our content. Be sure to check us out soon, but not right now, on store.ttvpodcast.com, because we're going to have some cool stuff going on with the shirts before too much longer as well. And also check us out at audibletrial.com/TTV for those of you who don't like reading books. You can listen to books there instead. And, yeah. Thank you all very much for listening. I'm Messina.
I'm Rotoran.
I'm Kahi.
I'm Venom.
I'm Takuma Nuva.
And I'm Purple Dragon.
See you all next week for the next exciting episode of the TTV podcast.
Hooray!
Bye. Bye.
Happy New Year!
Yay.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Viper.
Happy birthday, Viper.
Oh yeah, and happy birthday, Viper.